Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Hey, this is Dynamite Didi.
Hey, this is Flash McKenna.
This is former WCW wrestling star Glacier.
This is your favorite homie, JR.
And this is Sean Maluta, the king of the Savate.
This is Jake the Snake Roberts, and you're listening to Top of the Morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, better late than never. This is the Top of the Morning podcast. I am your host, Eric Ames. A little bit of a later start today because my stupid ass overslept a little bit. So, hopefully everyone's having a better morning than I'm having so far. Thank you for tuning into the show here live on Blog Talk Radio. Doug is off once again today. He's off to the Red Sox game. And we're going to be doing something a little bit different once again. Our guest had to reschedule, so for this week, I am joined again by the beautiful Joshua Swirly Searles. Good morning, my friend.
Oh, dude, I don't know if beautiful is the way I'd put it. I'm sitting here all unshowered and stinky. I'm gross. But thanks
well,
for
I mean,
compliment anyway.
I think we can all sympathize because I, like I said, I woke up late, so I'm definitely not ready. I got the coffee coursing through my veins, though, so I'm nice and awake. And, of course, joining us once again, the sensuous David Adams. Good morning, Dave.
Damn, that was a good entry. I like that. How we doing,
well,
buddy?
I got to get you while you're... Still got some of that booze in your system, you know. Maybe I'll get lucky.
Oh man, I think it'll be there for quite a while today. This is a tough time getting going here today.
Oh, I mean, like you guys beat me. Like I said, I overslept, and you guys were like, "Where the hell is Eric?" So it was quite the switch because I'm never late for anything.
Yeah, you're usually raring to go. You know.
I think I had two options for you. It was dead or jail.
I was worried.
Well, you know, it's good to have great friends because you guys, like I said, you guys know that I'm usually never late. I really think that I had hit that alarm and I don't remember doing it because I definitely said it. So yeah, hopefully you guys are having a good weekend. I know Dave got to do something pretty cool Friday night that I kind of want to talk about real quick just because I'm interested. He got to go and check out the Ice Cube's 3-on-3 league in Boston. So why don't you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, it was kind of not last minute. I guess I knew a couple of days in advance. So our buddy Howie, who, as you gentlemen well know, was a member of our league, a one-time nosedick recipient.
Say, don't leave that out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a reason he's not in the league anymore.
The inaugural nosedick winner, I believe.
Can't forget
the
important
first. Right. You know, the unenviable first nosedick in our basketball league. He won tickets to the Big Three tournament in Boston on the radio. And, well, he really just needed a ride down there. So he invited Kyle and I. Say, hey, tickets if you drive. So, hey, it sounded like a good time to me. So I said, hell yeah, sure. So we piled in Kyle's car and said our prayers, and he drove us down to Boston.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right? Yes. I've always, Jesus, with Kyle driving, even when he's sober, it's like. it's an adventure. But he did all right. He did well. You know, we made it there, made it back. You know, can't complain.
Did you guys drive right into the city?
Yeah, it was pretty easy driving into the city. Not too much traffic. Just, you know, right by the garden. That's where you usually hit it. But yeah, it was a good time. Good time. A lot of old basketball players. a lot of guys on the court with gray beards.
It was like seeing the Uncle Drew movie live.
Oh, exactly. But yeah, it was pretty cool because we were only five rows away from where all the guys were coming into the arena. Like, if I really wanted, I could have just walked up and high-fived everybody, but then I would look like the old guy that's like trying to get in on it when there's a whole bunch of kids right there. So I was like, hung back, you know, played it cool. Well, yeah, I don't care about all these, you know, childhood heroes walking by. It's no big deal. What was that, Dr. J? Yeah, who gives a shit about him?
You should have gone full Mark. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Ice Cube's pretty short in real life. I don't know if you guys know this. He's kind of short.
It's been a while since I hung out with him, so I don't really remember.
Yeah, it's been a little bit since you...
Did you just say Ice Cube?
Ice Cube.
Was there playing basketball? Oh, for Jesus.
Yeah, he wasn't playing. It's his league, like the Big Three. It's
something
that he went in on. Yeah, so he was there. There were a few stars there. Not nobody, but Michael Rapaport was there, and I fucking hate Michael Rapaport, so I didn't really care about that. But other than that, the one that really got me though, the one that made me mark out, Super Bowl selfie kid was there.
I was going to say, the real question is, did you at least take a selfie with the Super Bowl selfie kid?
You know, I don't think I was cool enough. You know, first of all, I don't have a cell phone, as you guys know. So there goes that option. I'd have to borrow somebody else's and then bum the gate, because he's right down there with all the players coming out. He's taking video. I think he's there with his mom or something. Maybe that's his agent. I don't know. Who the fuck knows now at this point?
He's probably got, like, commercial deals and all this other shit now.
Right, exactly. I like how I picked him right out, though. That Super Bowl selfie kid.
See? Yeah, dude. He's like A-list now.
Right?
Watch out, Miz.
But, it was a good time. It was a good time. We did kind of leave a little bit early because we're old and we were tired. We had all worked Friday. So we're like, let's get out of here while we don't have to wait in traffic.
Yep. And Kyle's 30 now, so.
Yeah, right? It was all of our bedtimes, so.
I have to take any opportunity I can get to kind of rub that in his face, so I'll be sure to make him listen to this show.
Right. One other quick thing about this tournament, though, they were not prepared for how many people showed up. Like, I don't know. I've only seen it on TV, like at a bar, like in a passing glance. It's not really something that I've gone out and, I got to see this on TV. But the one that I did see, there was like not very many people in the crowd at all. And in Boston, it was pretty packed, pretty well packed. Like the whole lower section was pretty much taken up. There's nobody in the upper section.
So this was in the garden?
This was in the garden.
Okay.
And the whole lower section of the garden, pretty well full, and they were not prepared for it as far as concessions go. Only a few concession stands are open, and the lines wrapped around the whole fucking building. It's ridiculous. I waited in line for over an hour to get an Italian sausage.
Oh, my God.
As soon as I got it, I finally went back to my seat, and, like, I'm sweating to death. You know, fuck. And I get this big, sweaty, greasy Italian sausage covered in mustard. I finally sit down and I realize I didn't get any napkins, nothing. I took one bite and fucking shit fell all over my lap. So I just looked like an asshole for the rest of the night. It was just fucking horrible.
I'm like picturing all this happening in my head too. I can see it.
Oh, God.
The anger as that thing's falling.
You know what else is funny? After waiting, I think I was in that line literally an hour and maybe an hour and a half. It was that long. And I finally got up to the front, all I wanted was the fucking sausage. I was going to get a beer, and I said, fuck it. I just I don't want to waste any more people's time back there because everybody else is going up here ordering multiple fucking pieces of food, drinks. So I get the one thing. I'm like, all right, here you go. It's like, oh, shit, yeah, no cash. Just card, so I don't have a cash register. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? All these people behind me heard it, and they're like, what the fuck? That's the fucking bullshit.
They could have at least put a sign up or something before you wait in line for it.
Oh, yeah, you got to be in the other line for that. They literally said that to me. I'm like, you're going to get punched. You're going to get punched. you're lucky I get a card, but I know the dude right behind me doesn't have a card. And you're going to get punched by this guy. I might watch it.
you're gonna take my cash, or we're going to end up in the paper tomorrow.
Yeah, immediately, the guy started flipping out behind me, and the guy at the register is like, we'll work something out.
Yeah, you're going to take my
goddamn,
goddamn
right
money.
We will.
Yeah, you're going to take this legal tender, and I'm going to take that sausage. And right. We'll be done. Thank you.
Yeah. That was the only bad part about the whole event was the line, but anyway, I digress. I'll shut up now.
Well, you, you know, like you said, you rode in a car with Kyle to Boston and back, and you're still alive. So,
yeah,
great
can't
success.
Great success. Exactly.
All right. So, like I said, we're going to be doing something a little bit different today because our guest had to reschedule. He should be with us next week. Good thing he didn't want to do it live since I overslept. But of course, we did the Royal Rumble 1995 watch along a couple of weeks ago. So today we are going to be taking a look at the makings of one of the WWE's Hall of Famers, one of the biggest stars in the business, which this is the match that really kind of put him on the map. It is Sting versus Ric Flair from the first Clash of the Champions. So if you're tuned in, go ahead and fire up your WWE network. Head on over to the vault section. You want Clash of Champions 1988. This is the very first one. So while you're doing that, I would also like to remind everybody to keep following thechairshot.com for all the latest news, reviews, opinions, analysis, and sweet kick-ass podcasts over at thechairshot.com. And of course, pick up your Chairshot swag at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. I am not wearing mine this morning. I could have lied and said I was, but honesty.
Are you even wearing anything right now?
I am. I am clothed. I am clothed today.
I'm barely clothed. God
damn it. Dave was really looking for that visual.
Well,
I got a pretty
good
imagination.
We're not going to go there. I do remember one evening when we were...
And now we're going there.
Yeah, we are going off the rails already.
We're off the rails. There was
this
that
is what
one
happens
evening.
When we don't have Doug.
Yeah, he's kind of the, common sense guy of this group. But there was that one evening when a bunch of us had gotten in the hot tub and I was getting changed after, and I'm pretty sure I was drunk, and said, "All right, getting naked, don't look." And of course, when you do that, everybody looks.
Boom.
So
what's going on?
Dave has seen my bird before, so.
Kaka.
Oh, kaka.
Oh, boy.
Caw-caw. Yeah, I mean, you know, guy stuff.
Just coming out of the hot tub, it looked like it just sneezed.
Oh, my God.
And now we found the line, folks, and we have stepped over it.
Yep. That's what we do on this show.
Habitually. He's a habitual line step.
All right. Well, now that we've gone ahead and distracted everybody, hopefully they've gone ahead and fired up their WWE network accounts, gotten to the Clash of Champions. So your time marker for this match, you want to be at 1 hour and 34 seconds. For those who are watching on Roku devices that don't give you those markers, just get yourself to around 1 hour, probably just before that, the 1 hour mark. Let it play, and then when the screen goes from our judges to seeing a wide shot of the ring announcer in the ring, that is when you want to pause it. So you'll have some more time to do that. What do you say, boys? You guys ready to watch a little Sting versus Ric Flair action?
Oh,
absolutely.
Heck yeah.
You know what? I just found half a glass of scotch right next to my chair, and I got a bowl, like, half packed, so I'm pretty set to go, I think.
Oh, yeah. Little hair of the dog. All right. We're going to keep
going.
We're going to give people some more time to go ahead and catch up with that time marker. I'll explain everything that happened so far on the first Clash of the Champions. Once again, that time marker. Yeah, right. 11 falls in love, and it's not with Mike. So once again, that time marker is 1 hour and 34 seconds. So while everybody listening is getting to that point, let's find out what's happened so far. This is the inaugural Clash of the Champions, March 27th, 1988, from the home base of the NWA, the Greensboro Coliseum in Greensboro, North Carolina. And this is head-to-head with WrestleMania 4. Of course, that was the big tournament to crown a new WWF champion. This was the NWA and Jim Crockett's attempt at taking some views away from WrestleMania, putting this on free television on TBS, the Superstation, drawing a 5.6 rating. So pretty good for back in those days, although there was, I don't know, maybe like four channels, so there wasn't a lot of options. But actually, this is cable, so there probably was maybe eight channels. But so far on this card, opening the show, we had Mike Rotunda with Kevin Sullivan at his corner, the Varsity Club, taking on Jimmy Garvin, who you will know from the Fabulous Freebirds. Of course, Mike Rotunda, the father of Bray Wyatt and Bo Dallas, also known as IRS, Mr. Mike Rotunda there. Second match on the card for the NWA United States Tag Team titles, the Midnight Express, Bobby Eaton and Stan Lane, with my favorite guy to listen to, Mr. James E. Cornette, defeated the Fantastics by disqualification to retain. The Fantastics, if nobody knows anything about them, I'd look them up because they're a pretty forgotten about team, but they were very, very good in the ring. Very, very good in the ring. The third match on the card was a barbed wire match, way ahead of its time here in 1988. The Road Warriors, along with Dusty Rhodes, defeated the Powers of Pain, the Barbarian and the Warlord, with Ivan Koloff. And then the match before our main event, Lex Luger and Barry Windham defeated Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard for the NWA World Tag Team titles. So before we play this here and get into some Ric Flair versus Sting. Sting had come over to the NWA when Jim Crockett purchased Bill Watts' UWF, and Sting was really one of the only guys that kind of got pushed. This is, of course, the biggest match in his career at this point, and maybe the biggest match of his entire career, looking back at it. So that's pretty much it for all the info that you need that has happened so far on the Clash of Champions. If everybody is ready to go, go ahead and get your remotes ready to press play. I'm going to give a 3-2-1 play. And then, of course, on the word play, you want to press play for all those dum-dums out there. So here we go, boys, in 3-2-1 and play. So you're looking at the Greensboro Coliseum. Go ahead and throw your TVs on mute also if you have not done that yet. We got the Stinger coming out here with the infamous blonde flat top, sporting the rat tail. Any of you guys have a rat tail back in the day?
Oh, I had an attempt at one. It didn't turn out so hot.
Oh, I had a rat tail some.
Actually, does a rat tail ever turn out hot? I don't think it ever did.
I don't think so. Was yours more like a mouse tail?
I think it was.
I definitely had one, I want to say maybe when I was like 5, which would have been a couple of years after that. Of course, this is 1988. This is 1988, so Josh is already like 20 years old.
Right? Graduated high school. No, I was 6.
Six. All right. I was three, so I did not see this until much later, obviously. But now Sting is really coming into his own at this point. He's only been with Jim Crockett for about a year. There's the Natch in all of his glory with James.
God, does he look good.
Look at that robe, man.
That's a champion right there, son.
That is definitely a champion.
That's that flowing Ric Flair hair. I like that.
I wonder if that robe is one of the ones that'll be part of that WWE 2K19 kind of collector's or edition thing. And I'm sure you must have seen about that, Josh.
Yeah. I'm going to say something really gay right now.
Oh, okay. All right, then.
But I can see it now. If I was a chick back then, panties would just be getting thrown at that guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Uh-oh. Calm down, Josh.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, there's some damp riches in the crowd. There they are right there. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Grammy.
Those girls going wild in the mom jeans and the curls and the hairspray.
Now, Eric, can you explain something to us? Why is J.J. Dillon going up in a cage right now?
Well, of course, Flair is part of the Four Horsemen at this point, and in order to keep things on a level playing field, we're doing the old shark cage gimmick, which we've seen a way lot in WWE over the last couple of years, which is weird. They've gone to that. It's like they didn't do it for like 20 years, and then all of a sudden they've done it like five times in the last 2 years.
Right. This one looks like he's definitely not getting out of that thing. Come on.
And he's going higher than normal.
That's a hefty one.
I don't think he'll be pulling any China moves and bending the bars here.
Oh, God, right?
And they don't even have a light on him. He's just in a dark spot hung in the corner now.
Yeah, this is the days of the smoke-filled, poorly lit arenas, which actually this is actually pretty well lit for this time period.
Right.
You know, you got that Turner broadcasting kind of backing you there. And like I said, they're trying to pull away from WrestleMania 4. There you see our judges, because this match has been promoted as there must be a winner. So the judges, you might recognize a couple of them. We have Jason Hervey from The Wonder Years. We have Ken Osmond from Leave It to Beaver. Sandy Scott, who is a former NWA performer, kind of a legend in the NWA. Penthouse Pat, Patty Mullen, that's definitely not rated G. And then Gary Juster, who was an old official. So things are underway here. Woo! The old Ric Flair woo! Oh, and this was even in
stereo. Is this going to be an early
woo? I don't know if Sting was doing the woo. Oh, there it is. Yep. The early woo off.
Ah, there it is. Yep.
Oh, Jason Hervey putting in work with the penthouse pet. Smart kid.
Right? He's got the best hair there.
Yeah, he's got some nice little Farrah Fawcett action going on there. Flair does,
right?
Too.
Yeah, loving the lettuce in this match. God.
I'm bleaching my hair today.
It's going to be a thing that happens later, just so you guys know.
So this is kind of, if nobody has seen this before, I'm sure some people have seen Sting Flair matches. So this is going to look really familiar, because a lot of this match is pretty much the formula that they're going to use for the next, 20 years of facing each other, or a little less than 20 years of facing each other.
Yep.
Top hammerlock here. One thing I always wondered is what that huge bump is on Flair's back. I always thought that it was from that plane crash, but it seemed to move around over the years. I'm wondering if he had like a staph infection and he never like got it taken care of.
Jeez, I don't know. Where is it on his back?
It's on the right side, like kind of mid, but I feel like it like moved around over the years.
Really? He's got a camel hump, huh?
Lay off that
like
beautiful hair.
It's like the mole on Prince John's face in Men in Tights. Every scene somewhere else.
Wow, there's a reference. Holy shit. Wow. I totally forgot about that movie, Cary Elwes.
Right?
Sting hasn't quite done the Like, he was used to match the face paint with his gear. He hasn't quite done that here.
Sting's still figuring himself out. He's just a boy.
He is. He's only a couple of years into the business at this point. He is, let's see here. I got to do math. He's 29 years old here. So he got his start. He officially started in 85. So, yeah, he's still only a couple of years in. Still a little bit green. A lot of this, I mean, obviously, Sting is really just following Flair's lead during this. I'm sure everybody's heard them talk about this match 100 times in any interviews.
Yeah.
Trademark Sting dropkick.
He's going for that.
Nobody sells like Flair, huh?
No, he could. See, there's that bump right there. He was just kind of grabbing at it. I don't know what the hell that is. It does look like a staph infection, but I'm not really sure. Or maybe it is from the plane crash, and I'm just imagining things. Who the hell knows?
It's a fatty tumor.
It's not a tumor.
And there's your poor Arnold Schwarzenegger impressions for the day, folks.
Oh, God. Everybody's got one, right?
We could go the whole show just talking like that if we wanted to.
The Arnold show will be next week.
Yeah, we'll do that next week with Sean Maluta if he doesn't reschedule. I can't imagine he will. He actually went to Raw and SmackDown this week, which is why he was like, my schedule's kind of wonky.
Yo.
Stinger working the arm, the old slow start here. Yeah, Flair was known for squealing like a pig during his matches. That's definitely one of his trademarks.
Really sell the pain and the anguish that he's in.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-oh, Josh. You did it.
And all this time, I've been going through such pain and personal anguish. Such hell! For nothing!
Goofball laughter.
I thought Harry's uncontrollable laugh in there is what gets me.
Right.
Leapfrog, drop down. Leapfrog, drop down. Leapfrog, drop down. The trademark press slam. I'm trying to remember this. I would be willing to bet there's at least two more press slams in this match. There's an old school head scissors takedown. You never see that move anymore.
It's crazy to see the crowd go wild over just a little bit of running in the ring after the slow start. Just pushing each other's chin.
Oh, yeah. Work rate,
strength.
Definitely. The in-ring wrestling is really what the NWA was known for at this point, where the WWF was more characters, but I mean the work rate thing is that hasn't really become a big deal until much, much later, at least God, probably like 20 years later, when people really start caring about that, because of the internet and because of people like me and Marks and whatever, like, it's all about work rate now. Why isn't Chad Gable the world champion?
Oh, God.
Yeah, that kind of garbage.
Right.
Who said that's garbage?
I like Chad Gable. Do you love Chad Gable?
I love Chad Gable. I think it's the hair.
He's one of the only guys that does like that head scissors kind of takedown that Sting just did, like, still to this day. He's the only guy I see that does it that way.
I view him in the same categories I viewed Neville. They're great, but because of their
quitters,
size, they'll never get the.
Wow.
Damn.
I actually said something about that because Cedric Alexander got some heat for calling him a quitter. And I tweeted out, like, shout out to Cedric Alexander for telling the truth. And he liked it. I was like, damn right. They won't push me how I want, so I'm going to take my ball and go home. Well.
Aw.
Poor Neville.
I like Neville.
Poor Neville. Well, hopefully he's enjoying not getting paid.
They're definitely going for the back and forth slow build here.
Oh yeah, definitely, for sure. This is the Broadways are kind of like Flair's forte at this point. The long draw. I mean, he did so many of them with Dusty Rhodes. I mean, at this point, when you get, you know, they'll do like an Iron Man match. It's a 30-minute Iron Man match, and it's like, oh, they're gonna go for 30 minutes. But Flair used to go 30 minutes in his friggin' sleep. So these matches were nothing for him.
So Eric, you must be torn in this match. This is two of your absolute favorites going at
it. It is. I would say that I was always more of a Sting fan probably than Flair. You know, I didn't really appreciate Flair until, you know, much later when I understood, you know, when you're a kid, it's like, I don't like him. He's a heel kind of thing. But Sting's chest already ripped.
Right.
Look at Sting. Like, he was marketed towards you specifically. You know?
Exactly.
That,
you know,
that age category. All of us, really.
Flair, he's pretty much a grizzled vet at this point, right?
Sting is cut up in the chest already from those chops. Looks like he's bleeding from the chest.
Oh, yeah.
Unless Flair's busted. I don't believe so. Ah, the old switcheroo. This is going to be boring for JJ just standing up in that cage for the duration of that match. Like, how much selling can you really do about the action just stuck up there in that cage?
Exactly.
That thing looks better than the damn shark cages you'll see now on, like, Shark Week.
I know, that's what I was saying at the beginning, is that thing looks like it's, like, very well put together. Like,
there's
you're
always
not
some...
busting out of that.
Yeah, there's always some story now of, like, oh, shark busts into shark cage. Like, how is that even possible?
Right?
Is it supposed to keep them out?
Oh, God.
Well, it's keeping Dylan in, because he's definitely not getting out of that thing. And even if he could, I'm not sure I see J.J. Dillon roping
not climbing down from,
height.
Like, 20 feet.
No, probably not.
Right.
It would probably be more of a Ellsworth situation where he gets stuck upside down.
Now they
probably
put you right over the ring, and, you know, you can pretty much touch the bottom of the cage from the ring.
That was horrible with Ellsworth, too, because you could see the... I think that was a little botch there. Flair with the face flop.
Flop.
The Ellsworth thing, you could see the whatever the hell they were using to keep him hanging upside down. Like, it was so blatantly obvious. Shit cans him outside. Right back in. The trademark Flair back off. He just hasn't dropped to his knees yet. Please don't hurt me, Stinger.
Yeah, you can see all of the telltale signs of everything he'll do throughout his career in this match. I mean, both of them, really.
They pretty much had the same exact match after this, like, forever. I mean, it never really changed. It never really changed much, but to be honest, it didn't really have to. You just put Sting and Flair against each other on the card, and it sold itself. That's, you know, there's a reason why, you know, this was the last match ever on WCW.
Yep.
That penthouse pet was really looking hard at Sting, like, oh, yeah. Getting that tonight.
I need some of that Stinger.
She doesn't know
who
she wants
Stinger.
More. Sting, Flair, or Wayne.
Right?
Wayne. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I don't know his real name, but he's Wayne.
Yeah, he'll always be Wayne.
He is, like, super good friends with Eric Bischoff now. Like, I was telling Josh before we got on the air. He does a lot of projects with Bischoff, and he pops up quite a bit in WCW in the years to come. There's even an episode of WCW Saturday Night where he does color commentary with Jim Ross for, like, the whole show. I'm trying to think. I think that he has, like, a production company with Bischoff now, but somehow they became good friends, even though Bischoff is, like, 20 years older than him, or at least 10.
Oh, yep.
I guess when you can't get Fred Savage, you got to go for Wayne.
That's right. Fred was busy that night.
Well, I mean, Fred's at the pinnacle of his career at this point.
Yeah. You mean that the pinnacle of his career wasn't that Super Troopers appearance?
A little cameo in Super Troopers 2.
You know, it's terrible. I bought that, and it's still just sitting here. I haven't watched it.
Oh, dude.
Do yourself
a
favor today, Josh. Right after
you
got to
do that. Definitely.
I've watched that like 4 times, so I probably get on Super Troopers. Oh, dude, he does go for those chops, too.
Oh, yeah, he lays those bad boys in. If you ever talk to any wrestlers, you know, they'll tell you, like, they'll joke around with each other and throw super kicks and things of that nature. But the one thing that they do not do to each other outside of the ring is chops, because they actually hurt. I think it was Kyle got chopped by Ace Romero and suffered the consequences.
Yeah, he played it off pretty good. Like it didn't hurt.
And then he had a big paw print for like a week, probably.
Suffocated breathing for the first 15 seconds. Sound like Fatty McGee going up the stairs.
Yeah. You get caught with one of AC Baby's fucking mitts. Holy shit. It's going to do some
anybody's
damage.
Anybody's. I could chop Kyle in the chest and it would hurt for a couple of days, I bet.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, Flair looks like he is like dying. The sell job from this guy. Is there anybody really better? My top three probably with selling would have to be him, Michaels, and probably Ziggler.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you take one look at his face, you wonder why he even had a career after this, you know? How could he go on?
Yeah,
how can he ever go on? He's in so much pain right now.
I can't believe how much Charlotte looks like him. Like,
nah,
I'm seeing it.
I try
like
not
that,
to think
that
about
view of him.
Old... I mean, until she got that surgery recently, her boobs probably looked like his. So. I don't know. I would not kick Charlotte out of my bedroom.
Nope.
That's all right.
Nope.
I'm not sure you're ever going to have to worry about that decision.
Yeah, I mean, you dream killer. The one that really gets me is because I'm such a, I don't know, like, Tessa Blanchard is my girl, but Jesus Christ, she looks like her father.
Tommy.
She's got that Blanchard chin for sure.
Oh,
God.
No.
Go away, gay thoughts.
That's what I'm saying about Flair. Charlotte's got that Flair nose.
Yeah, she definitely does. I'm going to need a cold shower and like a good cry like Ace Ventura after this conversation. Like I'm having a little bit of Ray Finkel.
It's like, so I'm at least a little bit gay for Tully Blanchard, I guess, right?
It's not gay if they're a good-looking dude, right?
That's true.
No, that's not true.
It wasn't gay because he was really, really hot.
Right. Come on, Josh, you don't agree with this?
The one thing that I'm seeing is a big... All right, I'm jumping back to this match. The one thing I'm seeing is a big compare and contrast between like today's main events with guys like Styles and Owens. Like it's a much faster, higher pace. Like there's a lot of rest holds in this that you don't see.
Yeah, you have to. But, I mean, again, you know, this match is going to go pretty long. And today's main events, maybe 30 minutes most. But,
yep.
I think if you remember back to WrestleMania this year, the pacing of the Styles-Nakamura match was pretty similar to this, and a lot of people shit all over it. So you can't really, with the attention span of people today, you can't really do that. They just don't get invested because, quite frankly, a lot of them don't understand what wrestling really is, to be totally honest. Like
I don't see this match doing anything for anybody in today's market. You know what I mean? Like, that's how crazy this is. We're watching two of the greats putting on a great match, but I think it would fall flat in today's audience.
It would. It definitely would, because, you know, this match
not,
is about
not all of it, but definitely parts of it. You know what I mean?
This match is, you know, it's about storytelling. A lot of people, I don't think, understand that these days, that a match itself is a story. They're telling a story in the ring. It's all about, you know, the little details too, like the facial expressions, like we talked about, and why they're doing certain things at certain points, you know. Whereas today, a lot of times, it's really just a spot fest.
Yep.
I mean, you're not going to see any moonsault in this match.
Storytelling.
Now you had Sting controlling the action early. You know, Flair finally gets one over on him. At this point, they're making both guys look strong right now.
Yep.
Man, those barricades had to have sucked to hit.
I know. It doesn't look like there's too much give to those, even though they're thin, but they look hard.
I would almost think that, you know, the barricades later on, not the walls that they use now, but, you know, the old steel guardrails with the multiple bars going in a vertical manner, I would think that that might be a little bit easier to hit, whereas this one is just two sturdy bars horizontally.
Yeah.
Wrestling's fake, though.
Yeah, this is true.
This is true. Good point, Josh.
Good, very good point.
And then you have to show them clips like that, and it's like, well, how do you take that? Explain that to me.
There's always going to be that ignorance. It's just always going to be there. You know what I mean? It's like, every movie is fake too, but you know, the people that say that kind of thing, or I don't know.
Why are you so ignorant?
Yeah, that's all fake. Anything that you're seeing right there, all those injuries, it's all CGI.
Yeah, exactly. Nowadays, if anybody says that to me, I just say to them, I just say to them, talk to Dave's wife and she'll tell you how fake that wrestling ring is.
Right?
Woo!
Can you imagine having to like learn wrestling with Josh Briggs?
No, I can't.
Against him in school.
I couldn't even imagine taking a bump, so I don't know how the hell the missus there got through as much of it as she did. I really don't.
I regret not, like, going one time to, like, check out how she did it or, like, what she even could do. Like, I can't even speak for how much she did there, you know?
Maybe she didn't do it. You know, no picks. That means it's not true, right?
It's true. It's true. She was probably just cheating on me for fucking like 6 months. That's probably what it was, now that I think about it.
Get out of my head, bad thoughts. Get out of my head.
Right.
I definitely would have loved to have seen
a whole bunch of wrestlers just running a train on her fucking 3 days
a
week.
Oh, my God. Oh. Something tells me you probably would have noticed.
Yeah, right?
These, like, over 6 foot, 300-pound dudes doing that. Oh, my God.
Does your pussy smell like bronzer?
She is going to listen to this, and we are going to get slapped. But, hey, you know what? That's all right.
Anyway, back to the match.
Oh,
my God. Winner's punching a guy right now.
Oh, my God.
So
that barricade.
I'm coming to a decision.
Back to the barricades, yeah.
What do I do with my hair? Do I go with the Flair style, or do I go with the Sting and the rat tail?
Ooh,
I think
boy.
It would be epic.
Do you got a coin with you? This is about as good of selling as you'll see out of Sting. Obviously, that was never really his strong suit.
Right.
This is the kind of match that just really gives people a sense of how great Ric Flair really was. Because this is all him. You know, Sting is not anywhere near the point where he can call matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't even see, like, Flair is so good, you don't really see him issuing commands, anything. Right there, he probably said something.
That's one thing that drives me nuts about today's product is you can so clearly see them talking to each other. It's like they don't, they don't even like try to hide it. And honestly, the worst one is friggin' John Cena. He's so bad at talking. Like, I don't know. It just drives me crazy. It's like, we all know it's a work, but at least try, for Christ's sakes.
Right. What the fuck does Cena need to talk about? He only does like four things in the ring anyway, right?
Exactly.
How's your shoulder?
Yeah, there's probably going to be the selling point of the rest of this match. Even Hervey is kind of good at selling the action there. He, like, stands up out of concern. One thing I'll at least
selling.
Say
he's
about
legitimately
him.
Legitimately into it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, one thing I'll say about him is that he definitely was a wrestling fan, for as unusual as it may seem to have a kid from the Wonder Years here as a judge.
I'm still confused about the idea of
having
judges.
Okay, years later, they had David Arquette as a champion, so.
Oh, my God, this is true, yeah. He's back in the ring again.
Good for
him. He actually, like, did some training
career
and
coming
stuff.
Full circle.
I mean, what the hell else has he got to do these days?
Certainly not act.
Now, he barely did that before. The only thing I'll ever remember him
is
for
one of
is
the greatest role ever.
Yes. You beat me to it. That was the only thing I'll really remember him for was from Scream. That and that horrible Ready to Rumble movie. Stinger firing up.
Wait a minute. It was Scream he was in. It wasn't. I was thinking Scary Movie. The actual
yeah,
Scary
you
Movie.
Were thinking, you were thinking of the Scary Movie with Doofy. The one scene I always remember that from that.
That
is,
guy was a guy named Dave Sheridan.
Don't bother me when I'm cleaning my room.
Doofy.
Another thing I always kind of appreciated about Sting, and another small thing that I don't think a lot of people would pick up on today, is throwing a great punch. Like, you don't see a lot of that these days. Sting threw a great right hand. The one thing I heard that was from a Kevin Sullivan interview, and this is probably the best advice I've heard, is he used to tape or he used to string up an aluminum can. Uh-oh, Scorpion Deathlock.
Ooh, baby. Oh, look, it's Flair fighting it off. No,
close
no,
to the ropes.
God, no.
Yeah,
get to those
to the ropes.
There.
Too close.
Veteran maneuver there.
But, yeah, back to the Kevin Sullivan story is he threw an excellent right hand. It looked like he was legitimately punching people in the chin. And what he would do is he would string up a aluminum can, like a, I don't know, like a ravioli can, you know, hang it up from something. And he would practice for hours punching at that can as hard as he possibly could until he could do it without the can moving at all.
Yep. Oh shit, that's a good way to train.
It is. I think a lot of guys will throw, you know, the forearms these days because they don't know how to throw a punch. Like, they really don't.
Yeah.
They're so worried about learning how to do flips and shit as opposed to the basics.
I've always heard that was one of Vince's big things is men know how to punch, and like that's what he likes to see.
I would agree with him. I mean, look at that. That's a great right hand.
Yep.
I always love the flare flop, too.
Just eyes in his head and crash.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely think that's why you see a lot of people throwing the forearms today. A lot of the basics are just lost. They really are.
Back to those barricades.
Wow. Yeah, now we're in a rest. Everybody's tired. We need a break.
I mean, we're barely, or well, we're more than halfway into this match. Sting with the no-sell there. That was one thing he was always good at, was the Ultimate Warrior Hogan kind of no-sell. A little bit rough on the crossbody there.
Yeah.
But again,
he was supposed to no-sell there?
He was the kind of guy that didn't have to do that kind of stuff. I mean, he's... A lot of people don't realize it, but Sting is a big dude, man.
Yeah.
Trademark knee breaker. The funny thing about him is when he was a partner of the Ultimate Warrior made Sting look like a child.
Crazy.
He was so gassed up. I mean, you got Stinger at 6'2", 250, so, I mean, he's no small man.
No, that's not a small guy at all. I didn't know they were partners, really?
They started out as partners, yep, the Blade Runners. But yeah, the Warrior, actually, I think you can find some of that stuff in the vault section here in, I believe, either like Mid-South or WCCW. Where the hell were they at? I think it was Mid-South.
Yep.
Or UWF, yeah, Mid-South, same thing. Watts' promotion there. I often wondered, you know...
Those guys were incredibly jacked. They just looked like animals. The Warrior. Oh, my God.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. There's a funny story that... I can't remember who tells it. But it was... back in the WWF, they used to mess with the Warlord who was on the gas. And he had asked somebody, I think it was Shawn Michaels, because they were messing with him, telling him, oh, Warlord, you lost some weight or something? You're looking small. So he asked, I think it was Shawn Michaels, asked Michaels to shoot him up in the butt. And he couldn't do it. He, like, couldn't get the needle in. And Michaels goes, you're full, brother.
You're full.
That's kind of what the Ultimate Warrior looked like back in the day, though. Looked like he was full. You're full, brother.
Right. I mean, Stinger must have been taking shit too, right?
I would assume back in the day he wasn't as big as
fucking word, but he was fucking damn close.
He definitely got smaller from, you know, the time that he started through his career. But I think a lot of that, too, was he actually became a good worker. You know what I mean? Like, Warrior was all about the look. He was all sizzle, no steak.
Those are pretty brutal, though, to watch.
Oh, they're really rough. Really
they
rough.
They do the basics, you know. Smacking the shit out of people. They can do that, all right, but as real talented in-ring moves, we're not there.
Oh, figure four, in the middle of the ring.
Time to go to school. He always positions himself near those ropes, though, so he can do this. Yep, four horsemen, JJ. Trademark Flair using the ropes.
See, one of those things that does absolutely nothing for the hold, but looks great on camera.
You let me put you in a figure four and grab something for some extra leverage. I bet you it hurts a lot more. Definitely something that you don't really see people do today, though. Like, that was like, during this time, you know, the crowd would actually get into it. Like, hey, ref, he's using the ropes. And nowadays, nobody cares. It's just small. Like I said, it's just small things like that that you don't see these days at all.
Yep.
Granted, this is 30 years ago now, which is kind of weird to think about.
You know, Flair's great at those ropes, too, because he uses it just long enough for the ref not to even think about looking back.
Exactly. Just enough to inflict the damage, right?
Sting's doing a great job of selling this himself.
Yeah.
Dragging him away from the ropes. Yeah, that's definitely something you don't ever see, is he would drag the guy away from the ropes. Usually it's just, I'm just going to try and turn him over and reverse the momentum here. The trademark Sting fire up.
Yep.
We getting flipped, Rick?
Oh, he's going over.
This
he's going
hurt.
Over. Look at Flair.
Look at the cell.
Oh, my God. He is in fucking agony. Agony! This poor man.
Dear God, he's broken in half.
Sting is going to break his legs.
Goodbye, kneecap. Goodbye, ligaments.
Every vein in his neck is popping, screaming. That is a fucking cell.
That's like, he's almost as good as Dolph Ziggler.
He's up there. He's definitely up there. That's why it's Flair, Ziggler, and Michaels are probably my three.
Yeah, I wasn't even joking. Like, Ziggler's the man. Yeah.
We're going to shit can him. Now, if this was Mick
something.
If this was Mick Foley, I could see this actually happening.
What, going onto the stairs with the suplex?
Yeah. Or even up to the concrete.
I say right now it looks like he's lined up on that staircase. Look at the Stinger. Beast mode. At this point, my 6-year-old self would have been going crazy for Sting.
Oh, yeah.
Had I
same here.
Had cable and known who Sting was.
Yeah, I definitely was not quite aware at this point. I really became familiar with him mostly through the magazines to start. And then I don't think I had TBS for the longest time.
No, we didn't either, I don't think. Not at this point.
Yeah, 6 years old, you're still relying on your parents to run everything for you?
Oh, yeah. Abdominal stretch. Another move that you don't see a lot of anymore, except I think it was it was Alicia Fox tried one this week on Raw, and she didn't do it correctly. It was bad. She had, like, the right leg pulled over, and I think commentary even made mention of it. Like, Alicia going for what looks to be an abdominal stretch. Like, God, if you don't know what you're doing, don't go for the move, for Christ's sakes.
And this is why you don't see her on television.
Well, that and she gets in Ronda Rousey's husband's face. I'm surprised she still has a job, to be honest with you.
She's one of those that's spectacular outside the ring. Like, she does a lot for the company outside the ring, promotion-wise.
Oh, yeah.
I would hope so. I would hope so, because she's batshit.
Yeah.
Here it is. I was wondering when this was going to come. I couldn't remember. I think he's only ever actually gone to the top rope and hit it successfully maybe a couple of times in his whole career.
Really?
Yeah, I know one of them was WrestleMania 24. And I think there might have been at least one other time.
Come on, Sting.
Time to
almost
turn the tables.
Him.
Oh. See that? I don't know how you really fake that. Because you can't really... I could take my finger and flick one of you guys in the balls, like, so lightly, and it would still hurt like a son of a bitch.
Yeah, I can't imagine getting dragged into a ring post at any speed feels great.
That's all these incredible 1988 special effects guys.
Oh, yep. Shit. Sting with the figure four. You want to be the man, you got to beat the man. Isn't that what he says?
He still says that. One of the odd things about this show, like the title of it, it wasn't really, like, you hear Clash of the Champions and you would assume it's like champion versus champion, but there was none of those matches, which is a little unusual.
Yep.
So how are the champions clashing with each other? They're not really.
Right.
Well,
another thing
to worry about that. anymore because it looks like Clash is done with.
And justifiably so, since every pay-per-view is dual-branded, so every friggin' match is a championship on the line now. Stupid. Mm-hmm. I mean, the SummerSlam card right now is basically all title matches, except for the Braun-Kevin Owens match.
Yep.
Hmm. Let go, Sting. He's almost got himself counted out there. Can't be holding that move that long. Mm-mm-mm.
We must have a winner. The other thing you'll notice, too, is this is on TBS. Zero commercial breaks. None.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, so we're, I mean, Jesus, we're almost to the end of this thing. Not a single commercial break, which obviously was part of them trying to kind of eat into WrestleMania.
Yep.
Well, Ted Turner owns the broadcasting network. He owns the promotion. Actually, no, he doesn't own the promotion at this point.
Not quite. It's like 6 months away. When he finally purchases it. Oh. I always loved Flair doing this shit with the referee.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
And he's outside.
I think they did that spot on the wrong side of the ring there because he almost came down on all the judges.
The announcers are losing their minds right now.
It's a high-quality station they have set up for our VIP guests.
Right?
Oh, you know the announcers are going crazy.
Blue folding chairs.
Jim Ross is on the call here, so you know how he is. I believe it's Bob Caudle is the other one. And I think Shivani was involved somehow. They used him as kind of like a host kind of a capacity. Thought we might be going a little ECW there, getting into the guardrail or over the guardrail.
Right.
Is there,
there was already
an apron area than there is now?
It
looks bigger.
I don't think so.
Is this a timed match?
This is
okay.
Well, they say
they announced 5 minutes left.
Yeah, they say 60 minutes, but it doesn't actually go 60 minutes, which
okay.
is weird. Yeah, we're going 45 here. But no, I think that the apron is the same size. The ring, however, does look to be bigger than what WCW would use later on, which was actually a little bit smaller than the WWE ring, I believe. WWE used 20 by 20. And then I think the later WCW one was like maybe an 18 by 18, which doesn't seem like much, but you definitely notice it when guys are getting thrown into the ropes. This one looks 20 by 20, though.
Look at that, the no sell. Just got a knee to the dick. Nope. Doesn't affect Sting.
I can't remember.
You're right
if they
about
were
those punches too, man. Those look really good.
Flair's busted.
They look like
Ooh.
They hurt.
Yeah, 16 by 16 for WCW.
Wow, yeah.
And 18 for WWE.
Oh, so it is 18. Okay. Yeah, that 2 feet doesn't seem like it would make a big difference, but if you watch any of those later, like any of the Nitros, really. You can see it when they get whipped into the ropes. It's like their timing is a little bit off because they expect to have, you know, the extra 2 feet to run.
Yep.
I think this has got to be an 18 by 18, though. It looks like it.
I'm legitimately, I don't know who wins this match, so I'm on the edge of my seat here, really.
Yeah, like I said, I went into this blind. I'd never seen him before, so.
I mean, it's been tremendous storytelling the whole time. Like you guys said, it's not to the pace that people today would think, but you know, back and forth, the champion looking strong, the challenger looking strong, the challenger fighting through the knee, and you know, the incumbent Ric Flair.
What I can't do with this match is call the next move out. Like today's WWE, you can typically call out a match before it even happens.
Oh yeah. That kind of shit drives me crazy too. Yeah. You won't see any spots that, you know, look horrible just because the spot is way too choreographed. Look, like the Bandito spot in the corner is the one that gets me every time. It's in like every match too, and it just looks so choreographed. You know, that spot where one guy's in the corner and the other guy comes running in and gets flipped up over the top and lands on his feet on the apron. It just looks like shit every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he did hit it that time. All right. Look at the crowd jumping up and down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everybody's into it now.
They're into it, so...
They've been into it for the last, like, 10 minutes.
Well, they've done such a good job of building it. Like, now they're to that high-paced point.
Sting had a lot of momentum at this point, too. Which is why Flair basically handpicked him.
Yep.
He was the guy that he would go around the locker room and be like, I can make that guy. I can make that guy. I'll make that guy. Which is what made Flair such a great champion. Is he... He would go around to all the territories back when there were territories, make that place's top guy look like $1 million, and still somehow come out the champion, which is, in my mind, why I don't care how many titles John Cena gets, he will never amount to what Ric Flair did, ever. Nobody will.
Nope.
Scorpion in the ring. Middle of the ring now. We're getting close to our time marker.
He is shaking his head like a banshee.
He's trying to hang on here.
I'm muted right now, so I wish I could hear how bad he was screaming.
He admittedly, I got it on like 2 or 3. I can hear it a little bit.
That's it. The bell rings.
Yeah.
So how is it playing out, guys? Because I know you guys don't know because it's on mute.
Oh, yeah.
So I'll go ahead and explain. They end it there with Sting having Flair locked in the Scorpion Deathlock. Unfortunately, the time has expired. So we go to the judges because there must be a winner as they've advertised.
Yep.
I say Flair. Sting didn't do enough to take the title.
I don't know. What do you judge on?
That's the good question, is I don't know exactly.
Was this like a boxing match all of a sudden? Well, you know, Sting landed more punches to the head. But, you know, like, I don't know what you're really judging off here, I guess.
Yeah, there was our first commercial break right there. And that was, they went the 45-minute time limit.
Yep.
Here is our announcement. I can't remember that guy's name. So I know that you guys can't hear it, so I'll go ahead and I will give what the judges have here. Gary Juster has awarded the match to Sting. Patty Mullen, the penthouse pet, awarded the match in favor of Flair.
Yeah, she did.
let's see here. No decision from Jason Hervey and Ken Osmond. And then the final man, Sandy Scott, has ruled the match a draw, which means that this ends in a time limit draw. Look at the people. They are pissed.
Oh, man.
So they promote it. They promote it as there must be a winner, and there is no winner.
Oh, come on.
So they go the 45-minute Broadway. Still your champion, Ric Flair. Sting is pissed. So he basically does what he was doing in all those territories, like I just said, is he made Sting look like $1 million, somehow escaped with the title. the big gold belt. I loved that gold belt. They're calling Flair the winner here, even though he's not the winner. He just hangs on to the title. There's our announced team there, Shivani. Look at the stash on Shivani. Wow.
I know it.
The old mustache.
I almost asked who the guy in the middle was.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell because he does not look like that anymore.
I didn't know.
And
he
doesn't have the cowboy hat.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to recognize when you're used to seeing him with that cowboy hat all the time.
Right.
So that will do it. That does it for Sting versus Flair. So that was you guys' first time seeing that. So final thoughts, Dave, on Sting versus Flair, the making of Sting as a star.
Oh, boy. I can definitely tell why that would have been a draw many more times to come after seeing that match. Yeah, I liked it. I was very impressed.
How about you, Josh?
Very impressed with the Sting in this match.
Final thoughts on Sting versus Flair, Josh.
I loved it. Like you said, it's a perfect way to get Sting as an up-and-coming athlete and, like, the next head of your promotion, but let Flair retain the belt and, like, show that he's still in charge. But Sting didn't lose this match in any way, and the no decision really leaves the fans wanting more, and like any good movie ending, that's what you want is a good sequel.
Exactly. Yeah, Sting is not quite ready to carry the championship yet, so good decision to not have him go over. But this was a way for Flair to kind of make a new opponent for himself, senior producer Virgil Runnels. Who's that, guys?
Right.
Old Dusty. But yeah, this was a way for him to make himself a new opponent for years to come, which is what happened. You know, he had a goal and he set out to get that done and got it done. So Sting is a made man after this. Of course, he goes on to become one of the all-time greats, one of the, I guess, real icons of the professional wrestling industry. I know that word gets thrown out a lot, but I do think that Sting is in that category of icons. So
one of his nicknames, the Icon.
The Icon. Yep. He'll even sign it on an autograph for you if you ask him, or you don't even need to ask him really. But so Stinger, of course. This is what makes him. He does not win the title for a couple more years, gets his big World Heavyweight Championship win at the Great American Bash 1990. But this is just the kickoff for him. He'll start winning some gold shortly, I believe, with the World Television title and the United States Championship over the next couple of years as he continues to really rise up the card until basically the fans are clamoring for him to be the World Heavyweight Champion. So that will pretty much wrap it up for our show this week. We'll go ahead and go around the horn with our plugs. Of course, we want everybody to keep following thechairshot.com for all the news, reviews, analysis, opinion, and podcasts, just like Top of the Morning. And you can follow thechairshot.com on social media at thechairshot.com. No dot. That's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can follow myself, your host, Eric Ames, on Twitter at @E_Ames, A-M-E-S, 323. And where can people find you on Twitter, Josh?
At SwirlyJ22. That's SWIRLYJ22.
Yeah, you better do the damn song. All right. Where can people find you on Twitter, Dave?
You can find me at Davey_Adams, DAVEY_ADAMS.
Yes, not like the Adams family. That is only one D. Only one D when it comes to Dave. One D at a time.
I'm the one D, so, Dave.
He's a one D kind of a guy. So we'll go ahead and get you guys out of here like we usually do. Like I said, next week should be Sean Maluda on the show unless something else happens and he needs to reschedule. I can't foresee that happening. So we'll get you out of here as we usually do with our motivation music. No pick by anybody this week. Went with something that made sense. A lot of people might not remember this because this it was my favorite Sting entrance music, but it didn't become his entrance music until I believe 1999, only lasted for a couple of years, and you'll never hear it on the WWE Network. This popped up after he had returned from a lengthy injury hiatus, and it really summed up his kind of change in character because he was looking to seek and destroy. So we will catch you guys next week.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.